This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and boy, do we have a special guest today. You know and love her from The Facts of Life and many other things, and her name is Charlotte Wright, and her new book is called The Facts of My Life, and it is just out from, the publisher. The publisher has a panda on it. Hello, how are you?
Yes, my name is Charlotte Ray, and you can get the book at Amazon.
Right. You know. Bear Manor Media, that's the publisher. Not a publisher I've heard of before, but...
No.
How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you located, David?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, lovely Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Dutch country and Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some beautiful country out here. Beautiful,
yes.
Beautiful. It's not beautiful today. It's very cloudy and overcast today. But when we have pretty days here, they really are beautiful. That when especially when the leaves fall in the fall.
It's yes.
I mean, it is. You can just sit there and enjoy that all day, you know.
Oh God.
It is. Now, do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
Oh no, I don't mind. I'm 89 and a half. I'm going to be, if by the grace of God, 90 April 22nd.
Wow. That is so wonderful. And you've been through so much. I mean, just reading this book, and I've been reading the book for the last week, my heart just goes completely out to you with what you've been through your life. I mean, Andy, I'm almost crying thinking about Andy. And Andy, it just is all through the book.
Yeah, Andy, my darling, dear darling, Andy, right?
What's your fondest memory of him? Do you have one?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many sweet little things. But I think one of the things that I loved about him was that he was very empathetic. I mean, like my friend who was dying of cancer, and she had some oxygen up her nose, and we went to visit her.
Right.
And he said, oh, poor Millie. Oh, so sick. Oh, and he would stroke her arm, you know. I mean, it was such a sweet kind of feeling of empathy.
Well, you have a lot of empathy. Just from reading the book, it's very apparent that you're very empathetic toward people, that you care about other people. And that's, I mean, we think of Hollywood as being very self-centered, a lot of self-centered people, you know, but you don't seem that way at all.
Well, I mean, I've been so grateful for people all along the way, as you know in the book, who are like angels, just being there and being so helpful to me. And when I'm needing some support, and I just, you know, I mean, it just goes round and round. We all try to be there for each other, don't we?
And that's one of the fascinating things about the book. Every time you turn around, there you're meeting somebody else famous. I mean, Jane Stapleton here, and you're on, you know, all these different people that you've come in contact. Cloris Leachman, who, God, she's amazing. That woman, she just never seems to age.
Right.
I mean, she's 80 some years old and she's still doing TV.
No, she's my age.
Is she? Yeah, she must.
Yeah, we went to college together. I mean, she left after the sophomore year, but. I don't know. I have to look. I think she's...
You might be right about that.
She's either 2 months earlier than me or 2 months later.
How long has it been since you've talked to her?
It's been a while. We haven't really spoken. I don't know why. I sent her a birthday card,
right.
But she never responded.
Really?
I don't know. I hope she's okay. I don't.
Are you able to call her and say hello?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I sent her a birthday card and she didn't respond. So I hope she's okay.
Yeah, I hope she's okay. When I saw her on TV last, she was certainly okay.
When
I saw her on TV, when did I see her last? I've seen her on talk shows lately, and I think she was on a show. Was she on? I'm trying to think of what show she was on. I'm thinking of that show that
recently,
was on.
Recently?
Yeah, I thought she was on a show recently, but I can't remember the name of it now.
Then she's okay.
Yeah, so I think she is. You would hear about it in the news if she wasn't, I think. Because a lot of times, with Valerie Harper, what she's been through, what an amazing woman she is.
Oh, what a wonderful woman. What a wonderful woman.
So you were on Facts of Life from 79 to 86. And yeah. My sister got so much enjoyment out of that show. I have to thank you for that alone.
A lot of boys liked it, too.
Right.
You know, the people, you know, I had a book signing at Barnes & Noble here in L.A., and there were so many people there lined up for me to sign the book who were just people who grew up with The Facts of Life and Mrs. Garrett.
Right.
And they all wanted a hug. And, men and women, it's a special group.
Right. Well, it's because you're a mother to us all. You feel like a mother to all of us.
Yeah. Well, how old are you?
I'm 53. I'm a little younger than you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't grow up with The Facts of Life.
Oh, yes, I did. My sister watched it all the time. I was... whether I wanted to or not. I enjoyed the show. From what I could see, I love the interaction between the characters. I always thought that was fun. I mean, especially between Nancy McKeon and Lisa Welchel. I just loved to watch them fight.
Yeah.
it was so interesting to watch them go back. And it's still on. Logo still shows the program.
I know, and it's all the different issues, which I love, that we took.
Right, and you were definitely ahead of your time on some things, and you know, the issues that, you know, they didn't always deal with back then really well, you know, and you were dealing with some of them. And
I wish they did something like that today. They don't do anything like that anymore.
What surprised me is that you didn't seem like you were really close to the girls while you were making the show.
Well, we were friends. We were pals.
Oh, you were friends,
but,
okay.
But, I mean...
But it seemed like there was a distance between you guys.
Well, no. Well, Nancy told me this afterwards because we're still friends.
Right.
Nancy, mm-hmm. and her.
How's she doing?
She's doing great, and she is a beautiful husband, a wonderful guy, and two wonderful, really terrific kids. And she's being the best mom in the world, and she's one heck of a good actress. But she said that they thought that I was part of the producing group, so they didn't know that I was just one of the actors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. They thought you were, maybe they thought you were the boss, and they weren't.
Yeah, they thought maybe I was on the producing team.
Right. But the way you describe the TV show and how it's made and all the things you have that goes into making it, it's not an easy thing. And the more you describe it, I thought, wow, what she's been through. This must have been really tough for her. I mean, what was the shooting schedule like? I mean, when you went in, or say on a Monday, how many hours would you work on the show?
Well, we would get the new script on Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, Monday was camera day, and Tuesday we did it. And then Wednesday we'd start with a new script and sit at the table and read it. And then they'd go home, the writers, and rewrite, and then come back with rewrites on Thursday and Friday. And then you'd study your lines on the weekend, and I'd go, you know, get Andy and so on and so forth.
Right.
And then Monday camera day, and Tuesday we'd shoot two shows, and in between shows, you know, we'd have dinner, and they'd give us notes and change some of the lines. So for the second show, we had to do a lot of changes.
So you constantly had to memorize new lines.
Right, right.
That must have been very hard.
Well, it's challenging, and, with God's grace, I was able to do it, so that was wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, I always want, I think you think of a Broadway show and how you think to yourself, how do they memorize so many different lines? And not only memorize the lines, you have to know when to speak. You have to know, you know, exactly when to talk. You can't just say your line anytime. You know, it's got to be done a certain yeah. way, and that takes a lot of practice. So it's very admirable that you were able to do that.
Well, I'm very, very grateful that I was able to do it. I'll tell you, it certainly was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time, and I'm still close to the girls. And
do you speak to all of them?
Yeah, Kimmy has got two beautiful little kids, two little boys, and a wonderful husband, and Chris,
mm-hmm.
and Lisa is divorced but has three gorgeous grown-up kids, very talented, and she's more beautiful than ever.
Right.
And Mindy is doing great. She's a very terrifically talented woman. And then there's Nancy, who is just the most terrific human being. And
her brother was on Alice, right?
Yeah, right.
Her brother was Alice's son, I think, right?
Yeah, but my son wrote the book, you know. I never had any intention of writing a book. Never.
Right.
He said, Ma, a couple of years ago, he said, you're 87 and a half, and it's time you wrote your memoirs. Well, I don't write.
Right.
He said, he's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll work with you on it. And he, don't you think he did a good job?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Very engaging. I mean,
yeah.
The trouble with a lot of biographies, or in this case, an autobiography, is that it can be a little boring at times. Some of them can be. But I found myself getting really interested in your story, what you've been through, and how you got to where you got. I mean, the success that you had is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Not that you didn't have the talent. I'm saying it was just, you know, you came from a lot of hard times, a lot of times where you didn't have a lot of money. I mean, you were barely scraping by.
Well, I'm just very grateful for my life and my darling Larry and my darling Andy. May he rest in peace. And all my friends and my family. And, you know, I'm just a very lucky lady, and I just, you know, now that I'm getting to the age where, you know, one of these days we all go back to God, and you get really mellow. You really, really appreciate everything, and you become much more accepting of everything, if you know what I mean. You know?
You were on the Love Boat. I didn't realize you were on the Love Boat. How many appearances did you make on the Love Boat? Do you remember?
One. With Louis Nye.
With Louis, you're laughing just thinking about it.
Yeah, it was wonderful fun.
You worked with a lot of great comedians. I mean, Rich Little for one. I mean, just,
oh yes, he terrific. We had wonderful times together. I was we did some very funny sketches together. Very, very funny.
Right, and I'm looking at the list of all the stuff that you've done. It's just an amazing, amazing career. I mean, just all this stuff. And my friend watches Pretty Little Liars, and I said to him, she was on Pretty Little Liars. He said, she was? I don't even remember seeing her. So he went back and watched it, and he said, oh, there she is. You know, it's one of those roles where if you didn't look carefully, you missed you.
Right. Yeah.
And there you were.
Yeah. And I'm going to be doing a play in the spring.
Are you?
Yes, and in L.A., at the Kirk Douglas Theater.
Oh, how cool. What kind of a play is it? I mean, what's it about?
It's called Endgame. It's by Samuel Beckett.
Wow.
And I'm playing the part of Nell. And
who's going to be in it with you?
Alan Mandel and Barry McGovern's coming from England to do it.
Wow.
And Rick Clusey, yeah. That's looking forward to it. Yeah. And,
so how will it be a challenge to remember lines at your age?
I don't know. Let's see. We'll see.
I always wonder as you get older. It must be harder as you get older to remember.
I don't know. We'll see.
But you seem to have a very good memory, though.
Yes, and hopefully it'll all work out. I'll start studying the lines early, so I have plenty of time to learn them. You know.
Right. Exactly. But you've done it so many times before. I mean.
Yeah.
Working on the stage, you know what you're doing, obviously.
Well, what did you like about the book? Tell me.
I just liked experiencing your life and the total telling of your life story. I thought it was interesting. And I wanted to see what was going to happen next. I knew you were going to get to the facts of life, obviously, because that's what I knew you from. And that's where a lot of people went.
But you didn't know that I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, I didn't even know you ever drank.
Well, you know. But, I mean, I've been in the AA program, for 42 years.
Good for you. I mean, good for you that you saw that you needed help and got help, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But you've had a tough life. Nobody would blame you for what you've been through.
Well, that was my drug of choice when I found out about Andy's.
Did it help?
Well, I mean, it helped me to get to sleep at night, but then, you know, when there came a point where it seemed ridiculous to keep doing it because I had to, you know, it was not the answer.
Well, balancing work and Andy at the same time had to be a nightmarish at times.
Well, you know, the important thing was that I really didn't want to drink anymore.
Right.
That was not the solution. So, fortunately, someone said to me, why don't you go to AA? And I said, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I just have a little drinking problem. She said, well, go and see what you think. And I went, and there are all these beautiful young people, and they were well-dressed, and they were all happy. And we held hands and did the Lord's Prayer after the meeting. And that was the beginning of my great...
Do you go to church?
I don't go to church. I go to AA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual program. It really is.
Right.
I mean...
Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just asking. That's all. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own way of getting through life. I mean, that's the basic thing. Everybody has... Everybody has different things, you know, that they do that make them feel good.
My main man is God, okay?
Right. You still have that same voice. I love hearing that voice. I mean, that's one of the things we love most about you is your voice. I mean, you just had that funny, funny voice. I mean, it made us laugh just hearing the voice. Did you get made fun of for your voice at all, ever?
Oh, I think so. I think sometimes they did spoof.
Did what did you think when you saw those? Did it hurt you at all?
No. No.
I remember Barbara Walters told a story one time about when they used to make fun of her because of the way she talked. And she said the one thing that happened was she walked into her daughter's room and her daughter was watching them make fun of her. And her daughter started laughing. And she said, once my daughter started laughing, I was okay with it. And I thought that was interesting, that the fact that her daughter thought it was funny, then it was okay.
Yeah.
That's lovely. It's a lovely thing. I mean, that people make fun of you means they care about you. They wouldn't make fun of you if they didn't. If they didn't care about you, they wouldn't even talk about you.
Absolutely.
Why would they bother you?
Right, David.
But, all these different... And I used to watch the Eddie Capra mysteries. Who did you play on Eddie Capra? Was that just a guest starring role?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. I did it, and while I was in rehearsal, it was at Universal, I got a call from Norman Lear's casting director about Different Strokes.
Right.
And so I drove over to Norman Lear's place and spoke to the producer and the writer and about a house mother. For Different Strokes, what did I think would be required? And I told them I thought, you know, a lot of they needed a mothering because they didn't have a mother, and the two boys and Dana.
Dana Plato, yeah.
Yeah, and also that she would be very strict about certain things because they needed boundaries, and. And they hired me. I mean, I couldn't get over it. I didn't even have to read for the part.
It's amazing.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yes, absolutely. But I think something you must have done something for them. They must have taken to you instantly.
Well, they knew me from other things I'd done for them.
Right. You were what they wanted, I think, is what it was.
Yeah, but, and then, you know, I found out that I had a contract with, CBS. They were looking for a sitcom for me, and the contract was almost up.
Right.
I didn't see anything that was agreeable to me.
Right.
And but they had me so that I wouldn't be able to go into NBC to do Different Strokes. So I called Norman Lear, who is amazing. It's amazing to me. He was so available. I had his home phone number.
It is amazing. Nowadays, you could never do that.
No, and I called him and I said, Norman, they won't let me out of my contract with CBS. And he said, don't you worry about it, Charlotte. He said, I'll bet you a nickel I'll get you out of that contract. I know Bud very well, and we've done a lot of shows with him. And he got me out of the contract.
God bless Norman. I mean, just, and he's still going strong.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I think he just wrote a book, actually, too.
it's a wonderful book, yes.
Are you mentioned in the book? You must be at some point.
No, I'm not.
You're not mentioned at all?
No, not at all. But it's a wonderful book, nevertheless.
Now, did he do All in the Family, or was that somebody else?
He did All in the Family.
Yeah, he did do All in the Family. I'm getting my names confused, but I mean, All in the Family. You were actually in All in the Family. Was it just a one shot thing, or were you
a one shot? I played the Tupperware lady.
Oh, right. And you know, I can see that episode in my head. I remember that because I used to watch that show when I used to come home from school. I could sit and watch the reruns that were on. I remember.
Yeah.
I was in school back in like 70. It was right after the show was. It was like 74, 75. I guess I was in school somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little after the show had already aired first time, I guess. But I remember that Tupperware episode. When you started to describe it in the book, I thought, oh, I remember that. So your book was bringing back memories for me. That's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, and I was in awe because that was the biggest show in the country, All in the Family. And I was so nervous because I was going to be on it. And they all said to me, don't you know how wonderful you are? And I said,
yeah, and
no.
Sally Struthers, you mentioned Sally Struthers in the book, what she said to you. What a sweet lady.
Yes.
I mean, she's got a big heart. I mean, all the stuff she does for kids is amazing. I mean, she's an amazing woman.
Yes, she is.
You don't see her much on TV anymore, but she's always been this strong woman personality on TV, you know, this sure of herself, strong. I mean, look at Gloria. Gloria had a strength to her that was amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
And yet she'd sit and cry, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always funny when she cried. What was Carol O'Connor like?
Oh, I didn't know him too well, but he had beautiful, bright blue eyes, and he was congenial and so gifted, my God.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw All in the Family, I remember I had a bad cold. Like I have a cold today.
Right, exactly.
I had a bad cold. I was sitting in bed with a scarf around my neck watching the first show of All in the Family.
Right.
And laughing out loud all by myself.
Yeah, it
was so wonderful.
It's hard not to laugh watching that show because the interplay between the characters are so amazing.
Oh.
They couldn't have gotten the better actors for that show than they got. And I remember one episode where they're playing Truth or Dare, and it was just the funniest episode. They were all, everybody started making fun of Mike Meathead. And, you know, they were all starting to say little digs at him. He finally, he's had enough, and he upends the board, and he walks away, and he's all angry. And it's such a great episode. I mean, it's classic All the Family. I mean, it's like, he gets upset over a board game, you know? It's like,
I know. That was just so wonderful. Maureen Stapleton was so wonderful as Edith. Oh, she was absolutely superb. What a wonderful actress.
You of course mean Jean Stapleton, but everybody thought they were sisters, Maureen and Jean, but they never were.
No, no, no.
They weren't even related, were they?
No, not at all.
But you could look at them and think, you know, they kind of look alike.
No.
I used to think that. I used to think they facially they kind of resembled each other a little bit, but maybe it's because I wanted them to. Because they had the same last name, I used to think, oh, they must be sisters. How many Stapletons can there be, you know, in show business? Because show business is such a, I mean, there's so many brothers and sisters and you know, that take up after their family, you know, and you just think that. And you knew Paul Lynde pretty well, too.
Oh, yes, we went to college together.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh, yes, we went to Northwestern, and then we played opposite each other in the musicals there. Oh, my. Yes, we did some very funny things there together.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
And then we did do, he did Sir Toby Belch, and I was Mariah in Twelfth Night, Shakespeare's.
Oh, wow,
Twelfth
yes.
Twelfth Night at Northwestern. And you know Sheldon Harnett, who wrote the lyrics to Fiddler on the Roof?
Right.
He's 91, and they're
wow.
bringing it back to New York now. And a couple of his other musicals. And he went to Northwestern, and we're good friends with his wife. They live in New York.
So you still keep in touch with all these people?
Oh, of course, of course. We went, you know, I mean, we were very involved with each other in those days, and we've continued to be involved. It's lovely, wonderful, yeah.
You got to work with Meryl Streep recently. Well, I am so jealous. I mean, what I wouldn't give to meet that woman.
Well, she is wonderful, I'll tell you. She's not Stella Starr. She doesn't act like she's a star, which she is. And she just is one of the gang. And I just think this is so lovely.
She's always seemed like she's a very warm person. If you met her on the street, she'd say hello.
Absolutely. No, there's nothing, uppity about her. You know, she's not someone who's got to have the best Winnebago, you know, for the dressing room if you're on location or something like that. She's just a very, very highly gifted, intelligent, warm, down-to-earth woman. Lovely.
I'd love to watch her get upset in movies. I love it when she gets upset in movies. It's much fun to watch. I mean, it's just an enjoyable thing. I mean, I think of her in August, Osage County with Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
She's just a wonderful person. And did she can play almost anything you ask her to, and it's just an amazing experience. And you watch her in Kramer, you go all the way back to Kramer versus Kramer, you watch her in that movie, and she's the emotions just come right off her face. I mean, she's amazing to watch.
I agree.
Did you work with Dustin Hoffman once?
Yes, I did.
There was something mentioned about Dustin Hoffman in the book. Tell me what that was about.
It was we videoed it for, it was a Russian play, Turgenev, and he was very good, and I played opposite him, and it was fun, but he was not well known at the time.
Right.
It was before he was discovered with Hollywood, with Mike Nichols in that wonderful thing with...
The Graduate.
Yeah.
The Graduate.
That was the beginning of his big, big...
What an interesting movie. I mean, that movie is really... I mean, I watch it sometimes and I think, God, this movie's weird, but it's a classic. It's an all-time classic.
Yes, and Bill Daniels from Northwestern University, he was in
my Saint
other
elsewhere.
Class I was in. He played Dustin's father.
Wow, did he?
Uh-huh.
How about that? He had to be pretty young then.
Yeah, he was.
Before Saint Elsewhere and Boy Meets World. And I used to love him on Saint Elsewhere. God, he really took over that show. To a certain extent. I mean, you could see him walking down the hallways of the hospital, and he just, he ruled the hospital. Like, he was totally in charge of the hospital. I mean, it was just a pleasure to watch him get angry.
Yeah. Right.
And the interplay between him and Ed Begley Jr. was phenomenal. I mean, those two had such a chemistry together. I mean, you couldn't ask for better. What did you play on St. Elsewhere? You did a guest starring role in that too?
Yes. I really don't remember.
But
it was so long. I don't know why. I don't remember. But I was there and I enjoyed doing it. My God, and what a wonderful cast. Great, great cast.
Yeah, Denzel Washington was there. Did you get to meet Denzel?
I don't remember Denzel Washington, but I remember, what's his name, who's still alive.
Are you talking about Ed Flanders, maybe? Not Ed Flanders. Who?
No.
Ed?
Norman Lloyd.
Oh, Norman Lloyd. Is he still,
he's
still around? Are you serious?
Yeah, he's still around.
And he did, I think he did, had something to do with Alfred Hitchcock Presents, didn't he? That originally, that show?
About what?
A show called Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I think he was like a producer.
Oh, yes, he was a producer and a director and an actor. Yes, yes.
I remember that. He was a crotchety old guy in St. Elsewhere, as I recall, at times anyway.
But, and he was wonderful in, what do you call that? A thing that Robin Williams was in where he played a teacher at a boys' school.
Oh yeah, Dead Poets Society, wasn't it? Was that it?
Yes, and yeah, I love that movie. And Norman Lloyd was the head honcho, the head of the school.
He's really 101. I didn't realize he was 101. Wow, that's amazing. How have you lived so long? You've had such an illustrious career and a lot of personal troubles. How is it that you've lived so long? What's the secret?
The secret?
Yeah, is there a secret to your longevity?
Well, no. I mean, it's the grace of God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle, really.
Well, you talk about in the book about having to start eating healthy, that, you know, you had trouble with your heart at one point, and you started eating healthy. So that sort of turned your life around, too,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, the nutritionist, she was working with, what's her name?
See, I did read the book.
all these, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
The other two people, you know, the one who played Alice on the series.
Linda Lavin.
Linda, she was nutritionizing her and me and some Judy Canova, or her daughter.
Oh, Diana Canova, yeah, the one from Soap, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so, I mean, she was helping us with our nutrition and exercising us, and it was very helpful. She was, and I figured, listen, I better get on the ball because I have a good life ahead of me. I don't want to screw it up by not eating properly or not exercising.
Now, where is John today?
My husband?
Yes.
Oh, he passed away.
Oh, okay. What year was that?
About 12 years ago.
12 years ago? Oh.
Yeah, Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go visit him at the retirement home.
Yeah.
And bring him goodies and feed him.
Right.
And so on and so on. We were friends till the end, always, always.
That was a rough time for you when he admitted that. And, you know, it's, I don't want to give away anything in the book. I want people to experience it because it's a shock. It was one of the biggest shocks of your life.
Yes, it was. It was very, very...
How did you get through that? I mean, how did you manage to get through that?
Well, you know, it was hard. And it took a long time, and then I realized that, first of all, I had to accept it. It is what it is. And second of all, I began to realize what a terrifying thing it was for him, not knowing what was going on with him.
Yeah, I think that that's the beauty of you, Charlotte. You have so much empathy for people. You really feel for people, and that's important in life. I mean, it's really important to feel for other people.
It's the only way to go. It's the only way. It is. the only way to go.
I mean, if we all had empathy, there wouldn't be the violence that there is in this world today. I mean, there's so much violence and hatred and people don't understand each other. You know, we don't try to understand each other enough, I feel. I feel like if we could just reach out to people more, you know, and just be there for each other. I mean, there are people that do. There are a lot of people that do, but I don't think there's enough.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, it's a very self-centered world a lot of times out there. I mean, and when people help each other out, I read those stories in People magazine about people helping each other, and it makes me cry because I'm very moved by that. I'm very moved by the compassion that people really do have. And you've had that your whole life.
Yes, but I mean, but you know, it goes two ways. I've been given so much by sometimes strangers. I mean, I've been very gifted by people who've come into my life and been so
I think helpful. God has sent. I think God has sent you angels to look over you.
Yes.
I think
that's
what. Are you able to watch a lot of TV today? Do you watch TV? Do you read? What do you do?
Oh, I read the New York Times and I read books and.
What kind of books do you like to read?
Well, I guess. Philosophy and sometimes, you know, other actors that I admire a lot.
Oh, okay. So you like to read there? See if you're in there somewhere.
No. I like to know what their background.
You're not
is
very. You're not at all conceited. You're very, you're a very warm person. I mean, I can tell by talking to you that you're not in it for yourself. You're not like, I know there's one part of the book where you actually mentioned about when you went to the movies one time and they gave you free tickets and you thought, you know, why can't they give it to somebody who really needs it, some homeless guy?
Yeah.
And I was very moved by that story because it says a lot about you, Charlotte. It says that you care about other people. Like I said before, you really do care. You're not just this person out to get as much as you possibly can for yourself, you know?
No.
And you never worry about the money.
Not really. Although we need money to live.
Right.
But you know what I mean. I'm just very lucky, and and the reason why I did the book, once I realized that Larry really wanted to do this book, I just while we started working on it, I thought, let it all hang out, because everybody's life has a lot of stuff in it, everybody's life, and maybe it might make one person say, now I'm not going to throw in the towel. If she can do it, I can, you know,
right,
go on and enjoy my life. God wants us to enjoy life. You know, there's something in that play, Anti-Mame. It says, life is one big banquet, but so many of us don't know partake of it.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
We don't know how to enjoy it.
We don't, and I think, you know, you have to go out and you have to work hard for things. I mean, you did work hard. You've always worked hard your whole life. I mean, it's obvious that, but you knew, but your family meant everything to you too, which is wonderful. I mean, that's, family does mean a lot. I mean, family has to come a lot sometimes before our work. You know,
absolutely.
And no, that's a tough decision to make sometimes. I don't know if you're I always found myself to be a people pleaser, and that can get you in a lot of trouble. Because if you're not comfortable with yourself, you're not going to be comfortable with other people.
Yeah. Well, do you have a family?
Yeah, I've got six brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Oh.
My parents are dead now, but I do have six brothers and sisters. So I have and they have kids too. So I have nieces and nephews.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It's important to have people that love you, that really care about you, because sometimes you forget that people do care about you.
You know, well, you sound like a very dear, dear man.
Yeah. I like to think of myself that way. You were on Good Times. What did you do on Good Times?
I don't even remember. It was so many years ago.
Yeah, it was right after, it must have been right after All in the Family. It was the same year as All in the Family, actually. So you must have. I'll have to look it up on the TV and see if I can find what episode you were in. I'd love to watch those episodes from then. I mean, that was such a wonderful time. I mean, and I mean, watching you on the Facts of Life with the girls and how you interacted with them and your wry sense of humor was just amazing to watch, you know?
Well, thank you.
Do you ever have lunch with them or dinner with them?
Oh, yeah. I went up when I visited my sister in Dallas.
Right.
And Nancy said, why don't you come up to our ranch? They live in Austin, her husband and her, and their little girls. And so I flew up to Austin, and I stayed there overnight, and we had a jammy party. And
that must have been fun.
Oh, her little girls are adorable.
Now, is she acting in any way anymore, Nancy?
Every once in a while, she'll do something, but she doesn't want to not be there for her children.
How old are her kids now?
Well, one of them is in fifth grade.
Wow.
And the other one's in about second grade.
What does her husband do?
He builds sets for television and movies. There's a lot of activity in Austin. You know, there's a university there.
Right.
And there's a lot of film work done there in Austin, Texas.
That's
and
really
he does, he builds the scenery. Yeah.
What do you have? Do you really have a lot of regrets in your life?
I don't go there. I think going to regrets is absolutely a waste of time.
Right, I agree.
Well, why not just embrace what is?
Well, you do every once in a while. You'll mention the book, like you wish you hadn't done something, or somebody talked you into something you really didn't want to do. But you know it.
Well, I don't go there. I don't go there because life is very just a blink of an eye. Life is a blink of an eye, and you just have to move forward and look forward.
Now, are you still doing voiceovers for any shows at all?
No, I haven't done them for years, but I used to do them all the time. I guess I really should try to do that, but right now I'm busy promoting the book, you know.
Right, exactly. Oh, I wasn't trying to force it on you. I just was curious. I was curious of where I would hear your voice. You know, you've always had such a wonderful voice. I mean, and it's you know, it's lovely.
It's not so good today.
No, that's okay. That's it. I mean,
Are you Irish? Are you Irish?
No, my mother was Scottish and German, so I'm sort of a mixture of Scottish, German, and my dad was born in Philly, so.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sort of a mixture of all three. I've got my mother's strength, kind of, you know, determination. Mm-hmm. My dad was a little rough around the edges, but you know that's the way dads can be sometimes.
Sure.
You know, they can be. My dad was very religious, so he didn't like a lot of the ways that I used to present myself sometimes. You know, that's the way dads are. They get ideas in their heads and you can't get it out of their head, you know?
Yeah, they're rigid.
Yeah, very rigid. It's hard to get, once they get something in their head, you know, try to talk them out of it. My dad was very difficult to, it was very difficult to change his opinion about anything. So once he got an idea, you know, that was pretty much it, you know?
Well, God bless him. He was very judgmental. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult.
Very godly man, but you know he didn't always know how to react to people. He didn't know how to treat people with respect rather than being demanding. You know, telling you how you ought to be rather than loving a person. You know.
Yes.
It's very important to love a person. It's very important to treat people with respect and kindness. And you've always done that in your life.
I try.
You don't seem to have a lot of anger about anything. I mean, you were angry about Andy, I know that, and, you know, who wouldn't be in your situation?
But, you know, now at this time in my life, you have a different perspective about everything, because you know you're not going to be here much longer, so you really don't have time for any pettiness, nothing like that. You don't have time for it. You just want to cherish and savor the day, and you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Savor. Now, do you have friends in the area that you, I mean, famous celebrity friends that you have lunch with or go out to dinner with?
Oh, yes, but, you know, And also, the woman who lives across the hall from me, she's an artist with her husband, and she's darling, and she's lent me a beautiful painting, and she makes me mushroom chicken soup, which is wonderful. And then I have movies because I'm a member of the Academy, and I lend them to her to see.
Oh, know, that's neat.
And then I have Michael Learned, remember, from The Wall.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she's my buddy.
How's she doing?
Oh, she's fine. She's doing a lot of theater work and some television work. She's happily married. And then, I miss Charlie Durning so much. Remember Charlie?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I can still see the heavyset guy. The police. A lot of times he played policeman. And
he was three blocks from me, he and his wife. And he used to walk over for brunch and for dinner.
I think he was in that movie. There was a movie that Dennis Quaid was in with him, I think. It was about New Orleans, and he was a police guy, and I really liked that movie.
We've done so many, one of them. And then Carl Reiner's my dear Carl Reiner.
You guys it's amazing how many, all these older people that are still going strong. It's so invigorating. I mean, Betty White's going to be 94 in January. Look at her.
I was at a party, and she was there telling me that she was going to be 94. And she's one. She was sipping her vodka. She has no problem with drinking.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think she's ever had a problem with anything. The woman is ageless. I mean, she never seems to age at all.
She's lovely. Yeah.
So do you eat healthy even today?
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, you feel better when you do, you know.
Absolutely.
Except once in a while I like to have a glazed donut.
Yeah, well,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
with a little coffee, you know, kind of nice.
It must be. And it of course, you deserve something like that.
Yeah, you know, usually for breakfast I have a piece of papaya.
Right.
And either oatmeal.
Now,
Soft-boiled eggs.
Good for you.
And a piece of toast with butter and jam. And sometimes bacon. I love bacon.
Yeah. Now, didn't Cloris Leachman replace you on Facts of Life?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I vaguely remember her because I don't think I was watching it then. I mean, once you were gone, what's the point, you know? I'm just kidding. Cloris was wonderful, too, but she could never be you. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of people felt the same way. But I know that I remember that I was pretty sure she had taken over for you. But it's been so many years now. You know, that was back in what year? You left after what? After the fifth or sixth season?
No, I left after the seventh.
Seventh season, okay. That must have been very hard for you. What was it like on your last day?
Oh, well, the producer said the nicest thing. He said, here's to the star of our show who never acted like a star. Yeah, I mean, in other words, she doesn't think she's a star. You know what I mean?
Right. That's great. And what did the girls all give you a hug? And
yeah, well, I'm in touch with them still.
You're still family with them, so it's not like you're never going to see them again.
No.
And you're constantly talking to them.
Yes, I am.
And I think Kim has been on shows recently, hasn't she? She's still acting, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. I think she's going to do she's doing The Real Housewives of something or other.
Oh, right. Yes, that's what it was. I heard something about her being on some show, but you hear these things.
Yeah, I did a book signing in New York at Sardi's, and they called me. She was going to be on some show, and they wanted me to come on as a surprise that she was going to be on some interview show. But I was going back to New York that day. I mean, back to L.A.
Right.
So I couldn't go.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm sure you would have been there had you been able to be there.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
I did.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you.
It's been great. And also, I did, Minnie Cohn did reach out to me when I was trying to get a hold of her, and she said she loved the book, so I thought that was cool of her to say that.
Oh, what do you mean she reached out to you.
I found her on Facebook, I think, and wrote her a message, and she responded that she loved the book. She said that, all the girls were very supportive and liked the book. So.
You mean the book that we wrote?
Yeah, this book here. Yeah.
Oh.
The Facts of My Life. I didn't expect to hear from her, and I did hear from her. I was rather surprised. So I thought that was cool that she reached out to me. I don't even know the woman, you know. I've never met her before in my life, you know.
Yeah, well, that was lovely.
It's been great. I'll let you. I'm sure you have things to do now, and I appreciate all your time. And the book again is called The Facts of My Life, and it is out.
You can get it through Amazon.
Amazon. Is it in the bookstores too, though?
I don't know how well it's being
distributed. You mean
distributed?
Yes.
But I know that Amazon has.
Well, if anybody wants to order it, it's published by Bear Manor Media. You can look on their website, bearmanormedia.com, for more information on the book. Thank you so much.
Amazon.
Right. You are a true legend, and I really appreciate your time. And I'm very moved that you took the time to talk to me. I really am. And I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, and happy holidays to you.
You too. And this has been Dave's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.